It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes,
some people say
is.
Rowan Anna because it's a lot faster.
And I have missed Judley Surratt. I have really missed talking to him.
That warms my heart.
Oh, it's true.
I think the better question is Judley Surratt missed talking to us?
I think that's
absolutely
I, don't know
I have. Oh, are you kidding? How's it going?
Liar. All right. It couldn't be going better, although I'm not sure exactly how this is going. I need to know exactly what it is, and Kevin Powell is down here, too.
What's up, Judd?
Hey, what's up?
Explain what it is. He's been trying to explain to me all day what the my
what
beloved
means,
Blackhawks did
here.
Judd will, of course, do a better job.
Now,
I don't know. Well, what'd you tell him, Kevin? And then I can go from there.
I just made some stuff up, Judd, so you're definitely going to do a better job than me.
It sounded good when he said it, but we weren't sure.
Just deliver with confidence and people believe you.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. There's a man running for president who's a Republican who does that.
I'd heard that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, okay? The Hawks are going to move. They're going to get Bickleoff because $4 million next year, okay?
I'm going to negotiate with Bettman. We're going to change the cap. It's going to go up. It's going to go up to 85. 85 next year. That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be really great.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about this. So this was a cap move by moving Teuvo Teravainen and this Bickle character who really had not played all that particularly well for the team this year. And he was going to collect a $4 million check. I mean, I don't think anybody thought that Brian Bickle was coming back to the Hawks.
No, probably not. I think, you know, when you look at what happened here in the deal between the Blackhawks and Carolina, if you're going to try and get out from under Brian Bickle's contract, and the Blackhawks had a number of different options. They could have bought him out. They could have brought him back next year and then see how he played, send him to the minors. But the most cap relief was obviously to get him completely off of your cap. But to get another team to take him, and also remember they got two picks, a second-round pick in this year's draft and a third-round pick in next year's draft, you have to sweeten the deal, and unfortunately, it costs you a young, skilled player in Teuvo Teravainen. It's unfortunate, but when you look back at what Brian Bickle and Teuvo Teravainen did here in 2013 and 2015 specifically, both had memorable performances and both helped the Blackhawks win a couple of Stanley Cups.
And wasn't Teravainen supposed to be around with the Hawks for a long time? Wasn't he brought on sort of, it felt like, with that idea in mind, a young player with a big future with the team?
I agree, Anna. I think when you look at Teravainen and take last year, the way he performed, especially in the last two rounds of the playoffs against the Anaheim Ducks in a vicious physical series and then an up-tempo thinking series and very structurally sound series against the Tampa Bay Lightning, Teravainen shined. He played very well, and I think that a lot of the Blackhawks brass felt like he was going to be able to take a step forward, and he was never able to do that. And for Teravainen, he was drafted as a center, and he never really got that opportunity to play that first year in the middle. It was very difficult for him from a physical standpoint, from a structural standpoint, a responsibility, what Joel wants from his centerman. So they put him on the wing. He's not really built for that, to play against the wall and win those puck battles. And then at the same time, when you add a guy like Artem Anisimov, where do you play a guy like Teravainen?
Right.
Because he's automatically your third or your fourth center at that point. He struggled in the middle. He struggled winning faceoffs. He struggled defensively at times. And I think the Blackhawks didn't see the same level of compete that they saw against the Ducks last year in the playoffs, against the Tampa Bay Lightning. And it's unfortunate he took a step back this year. And because of that, and they also have a kid named Nick Schmaltz, who's in their system, and right now he's trying to make a decision whether or not he's going to go back and play college hockey again next year at the University of North Dakota. But if he comes out, he's another guy who projects very much like Teravainen. It's unfortunate, but in order to get the deal done, they had to get rid of a young, skilled player.
Well, Judd, you mentioned the 2013 run and how big Bickle was the entire playoffs. 9 goals and 8 assists in 23 games, and then he gets the big 4-year deal. Since then, really, they haven't gotten much production from him at all. What happened to his game?
Well, you know, let me go backward, though, Kevin, because it's a valid question. Because if you look at Bickle's career, even leading up to the playoffs, and he was terrific during that playoff run and playing that power forward role. Brian, remember, was a second-round pick. He was a highly touted pick. He's got a ton of skills. But if you looked at his performance in the minors, and I had a chance to see him before he became a regular NHLer, and then when he got to the NHL, he never was able to put it all together. When he did, during the playoffs, you could see what type of a force and what type of a factor that he could be at the NHL level. But I think after he signed the contract, the pressure to live up to the contract, the pressure to score, he was just never able to meet the responsibilities that came with that type of a contract. And maybe, in some sense, because he couldn't score and because he had the pressure of the contract, those two factors started to compound themselves, and it became harder and harder. And then he got less and less ice time. I mean, let's face it, in particular, when you think back to 2013 and he got that opportunity to play on the left side with a guy like Jonathan Toews, that's where he was meant to be, but he just couldn't play there on a regular basis. And when we talk about Brian Bickle's career here in Chicago, I think the one thing people will always talk about is his ability when it came to the playoffs to produce, but he was a largely inconsistent player. It's unfortunate.
So this Schmaltz kid, this is an interesting thing, by the way.
Yes.
I'm still trying to figure out.
Another name we can't spell or pronounce quite right.
Schmaltz?
Schmaltz is easy. It just doesn't sound right. Although Schmaltz is Schmaltz is an incredible.
Trump, you rub a little bit out on toast. It's tremendous.
Excuse me. Hello. Okay.
Okay.
Schmaltz is an important name. Okay.
Over at
You know, well, Schmaltz is a very important name in the history of hockey in Canada. There is a trophy called the Tubby Schmaltz Trophy. It goes to the juniors champion in Canada.
So is he mm-hmm.
Tubby
royalty?
Schmaltz is, I mean, you imagine this? We're the recipients of the Tubby Schmaltz Award.
It doesn't like, sound really? So great. Really,
I don't think that, it sounds awful. But
so, you know, do they have, is an award show, like, is there the Tubbies?
It would be the Tubbies, yeah. But anyway, this is a kid who there's a lot of hope for, but he's at North Dakota State, right?
The University of North Dakota.
University of North Dakota.
Murray's alma mater, I'm sure right now he's pumping his fist right now.
And Jonathan Toews' alma mater,
the
right?
Championship. This is a terrifically skilled kid. He had a monster college season. There's another guy from that team named Luke Johnson, I believe, who's also a Blackhawks draft pick, who they signed to a contract. Now, for Nick Schmaltz, he still has to decide whether or not he still has college eligibility, whether or not he's going to continue and play at the University of North Dakota or opt to turn pro. But in Stan Bowman, he had mentioned this, I wanted to say late in the season when it came to Nick Schmaltz, that he is the next big star on the horizon and the next big prospect coming out of the Blackhawks system. So he's a name to watch. Unfortunately, again, you didn't want to get rid of Teravainen, but as you look at the roster right now, Rowan Anna, the question is, well, where do you play him? Where do you play him? And then down the road, you have to figure out, well, what am I going to sign him for? A lot of the Blackhawks moves that we've certainly seen almost since 2010 have been motivated by trying to get themselves some cap space. Cap space is an asset. They're going to try and get Andrew Shaw signed. My understanding is that Shaw's people and the Blackhawks want to try and get a deal done, but they still have to financially find something that works. The other thing that you have to remember, and I tweeted something about this, is that with the cap space that was created today by shipping Bickle and Teravainen to Carolina, a lot of that will also go toward the bonuses that Artemi Panarin racked up last year, as well as some dead money on the cap that the Blackhawks had to retain in order to get Rob Scuderi off the roster and over to the LA Kings.
What about Shazi? I mean, I'm kind of waiting for that shoe to drop here.
They have to be able to find it work. I think there are a number of different scenarios that both camps are probably looking at. But in all honesty, I think that we'll have a clearer picture once the official cap number comes out. And I think it's surprising to a lot of the general managers around the league that they don't have a projected number.
Yeah, what is that all about?
I don't know. You know, that's a very good question.
It's based on the Canadian dollar.
I don't have a good answer for you, Anna, but I think the other thing that they're waiting for is, without getting too descriptive, you know, about the process that's going on with the cap, the players also have to decide if they want to take what's called a 5% escalator. If they do that, there's a greater chance that the cap will go up, and every dollar at this point will help the Blackhawks try and get Andrew Shaw back in the fold. They want him back. I think he wants to be back, but they have to find a way to make it work.
I hope this kid, going back to Schmaltz for a second, you got Sean Schmaltz. Yeah, just like saying the word. I hope he did. I mean, he's got an opportunity here now to go. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to end up with the Hawks on the big team, but he's going to get into the system.
He's got to sign first, yes. You know, they got to fit him under as well. I mean, if you're going to sign him, he's going to, that will also impact their cap.
So then they you know, put them wherever they're going to put them, right? I mean, I'm assuming Rockford, but he's probably skilled enough to be there at this moment. And then we'll just have to see. Or would you take your senior year at University of North Dakota? That's where Jonathan Toews went too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you do? And Jonathan Toews came out about the same time as this kid would be coming out now. So I don't know. I kind of feel like I'd like to talk to Mr. Schmaltz and the Schmaltz family. His brother is already in the NHL. His brother plays for the Blues or something, right? Jordan
no,
Schmaltz.
You're thinking of Jaden Schwartz.
No, I think Jordan Schmaltz is a...
We'll Google it.
Yeah, let's Google it.
Well, if he is, I didn't see him at the National Hockey League level. He may have a brother playing in the Blues system, but...
he does.
Yes, he does.
His brother, okay. Jordan.
Yep, he does.
Right. I didn't see him at the NHL level, but, you know, a lot of people really have high hopes for a guy like Nick Schmaltz on a different level, because if you look at the Blackhawks roster, they're going to need some young forwards to fill out a lot of their spots. Just based on a percentage you have, if the cap is like $71 million, which is what it's at right now, and it stays flat, and there's a potential for that, you have more than a quarter of that tied up in two players, in Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. That's the cost of doing business. That's the way it goes. But if you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, they had three regulars on their Stanley Cup championship team that were earning under $7,000, $700,000, that were making a meaningful impact on their roster. You're going to need some of those guys to fill out the roster for the Blackhawks and make that, you know, play a meaningful role going forward.
Right. Well, that's what they're always trying to do. And as I said yesterday, mm-hmm. with Stan, we can. That is my bumper sticker.
That's right.
I'm going to be selling mm-hmm. T-shirts at the United Center, and then I'm going to get hustled out of there and arrested.
Sure.
But I am going to do it because if there's a guy who can find a way to make all of those things work, it's Stan Bowman, I think.
I like it. Have you designed, you know, like what the front is going to look like in addition to the logo?
Stan's face. So Stan's face, and it's going to be sort of an arch over it. With Stan on the top, mm-hmm. we can on the bottom.
Okay.
There's got to be dollar signs, pencils,
calculator, right? Checkbooks,
depth chart. There's got to be a little bit of a depth chart,
maybe,
you know,
something like that. Yeah.
There.
How much would you sell them for, Ro?
I would sell them for $1 million a piece. That's
there's a couple players who could afford that.
I'm going to sell them to Toews and Kane for that. Mm-hmm. See if I can actually that out. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, that's let's say Toews is Canadian. He's not going to fall for it. Canadians are very, very frugal about those sorts of things. Oh no, that doesn't seem right to me. Kane, maybe.
I don't think it's right to anybody.
Yeah, they might fall for it. All right. I'm not upset. I'm not particularly excited about this yet, but I figured that over the next few days, we're going to start to see some things happen. Then the draft is a week from Friday, and mm-hmm. then after that, more moves, right?
Well, I think you'll see a lot happening, not only with the Blackhawks, but around the National Hockey League between now and the draft. That's when things are really going to happen mm-hmm. in the league, when guys have an idea of where these picks are going to go, what type of teams they want to have, and what kind of salary cap space they're going to have. I think you're going to see some fast and furious movement around the league between now and the time the draft finishes in Buffalo.
I don't know. I'm scared.
Now I know, because you just start thinking, who's next? What's going to happen?
Hate this.
Mm-hmm. It's not a fun time.
Believe in Stan.
Stan, we can. And like the we can part is like a smiley face.
Yes,
at the bottom.
We can.
No. Not yes. We get too political.
Si se puede.
No.
Remember that?
Yes.
Can you put him with like a shiny tooth with like a Stanley Cup gem like right in there?
Oh, I like that.
Bling. Who is the least likely person in that building to wear bling? I'm going to go with Stan Bowman. Yeah. It's like the least likely guy. I see John McDonough wearing bling. I see John McDonough with a gold grill before I see Stan Bowman wearing any bling.
Stan, you know, he might be the most fashionable guy in that front office.
Oh, he looks
good. Take a look
at
some of those suits, the pocket squares, the shirts, uh-huh. the ties.
Yeah, it's true. He's fashionable. He takes after me.
He's looking good.
Yeah, I think that's the way that's going.
Come on, Ro.
Listen to him. Listen to Judley sort of scrapping for his job right there. Oh, does he look good? Oh, my gosh. Look at him. All right. Judley, thank you for taking some
time
out.
Thanks, Judley. Good to
Great
hear your voice.
To you guys. I miss you guys.
Yeah,
we'll
see
you, Judd.
Can't wait. We'll see you at the convention, right? We'll see you
I'll
there.
Be there. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.